Please do our text today, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Are you on the right road? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Children are dismissed for children's church at this time, so you can go. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the words of that song. I just thank you, Lord. Our soul is so precious, we need to be knowing for sure what road that we're on, the road to heaven or the road to hell. And I pray that you would just speak to any unbelievers here today, any unbelievers listen to this word, Lord, you would convince them they need to be on that road that leads to you and that leads to the cross to heaven. And I pray for all of us Christians here today, Lord, that we would just take a look at our lives, make sure that we're on that right road, not turning to the right or to the left. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Do you know if you're really on the right road and going the right direction? Last June 28th, 95-year-old Henry Maiden from Olmsted, Minnesota, was driving back home on Highway 63 north of Rochester when he came up on an MDOT repaving project. And he must not have been paying any attention because he ignored all the warning signs, blew through all the red lights, drove around all the barricades, and turned right back on the road. And it must have looked good to him because he got quite a ways before he realized he was driving in wet concrete. And by the time the construction crew got him stopped, he had ruined 800 feet of new roadway and did over $100,000 in damages. People, are we on the right road in life? Because there's only one right road and all kinds of wrong roads. And even though God puts up all kinds of warning signs and red lights and barricades, if we're not paying attention, we can still get on the wrong road. And even though it looks good to us, we can go a long ways before we even realize how much damage we are doing. And not only to our lives, but even to our very own souls for eternity. And to prevent that, we turn this morning to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12 is one more warning to us. For some of you, maybe the last warning you're ever going to get. To take a serious look at our lives and to see what road we're really on and where that road is really taking us while there's still time to make a detour and get off the wrong road and get on the right road before it's too late. Our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, tells us three things that we need to do to make sure we're on the right road going in the right direction. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to make sure we're on the right road, we need to trust God for the right directions because we don't always know where that right road is. There is a way that seems right to a man. But just because it seems right to us doesn't mean that it is right to God. And we need to trust God's thinking more than we trust our thinking. And why is that? Because too much of our thinking isn't based on truth, it's only based on opinion. And opinions are just like feet. Everybody's got them, and they all smell. Pew Research poll last month showed us 3 out of 4 Americans, 3 out of 4 cannot tell the difference between a fact and an opinion. So today, a fact is whatever it is that I agree with, and an opinion is whatever it is I disagree with. And truth lies fallen in the streets. All the hubbub about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Evidently in America today, you don't need any solid proof to condemn somebody. All you need is an accusation. So much for habeas corpus. Everybody and his brother today claims that gay people are born gay. But where's the proof that that's true? You say, well, Kevin, it's genetic. No, because genes only determine physical characteristics. Genes never determine behavior. Some things are not as they seem. There are 6,500 genetic differences between a man and a woman that no drugs or hormone therapy or any kind of so-called reassignment surgery can ever change. So it's scientifically impossible for anybody to ever change their gender. And yet in New York City today, it is illegal to address a so-called transgender person without using the pronoun that they choose for themselves. People, welcome to the Twilight Zone. Last month, Nike Corporation chose for their spokesman former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. And Colin Kaepernick chose this for his slogan: believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Now, folks, it's noble to believe in something and to sacrifice for it, but the problem is, what if what you're believing in is wrong? Too much of our thinking today isn't based on fact and truth, it's based on feelings. Jocelyn Davis in the song sings this: we don't care if we do it right. We don't care what it looks like. We've got love and it feels right. So that makes it okay. That's America today. Feelings rule. And when feelings rule, chaos reigns. But notice, not one time ever in verse 12 here does God ever ask us how we feel about the road that we're on. The only thing that matters is it the right road that we're on. We've got to ask God for directions to that right road, because where else are we going to get them? Not technology. Last March the 26th, downtown San Francisco, an Uber driver got caught going down 9 steps on a pedestrian stairway. And why did he turn down that stairway? Because GPS told him to. It seemed GPS, the GPS had seemed right, but that doesn't mean it is right. Contrary to popular opinion, you can't just follow your heart, because Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I guarantee you, if you are following your heart, you are going in the wrong direction. Amen. Last December, I got a herniated disc in my back. And after the very first time that physical therapist worked me over, she told me this: now tomorrow, you're going to feel a lot better. But that's your body lying to you, telling you it's okay to go out and start running again. Because if you start running again, you're going to be worse off than when you came in here today. Just because it feels right doesn't mean that it is right. And folks, if we can't trust ourselves when it comes to something as little as a herniated disc, how in the world can we trust ourselves with things that are bigger and a lot more important, like our soul and where we're going to spend forever? We need to trust God for directions to that right road. And God gives us those directions right in here in the Bible. Because the Bible is a roadmap. It tells you exactly where you are, exactly where you need to be, and tells you exactly what right road you need to take in order to get there. The Bible tells you that you're lost on your own, that you need to believe in God. And you need to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth as God in human form 2,000 years ago. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then by His mercy and grace, you need to walk on that road with Him without turning to either the right or to the left. And in the end, that road will take you to heaven. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, God says, "This is the road. This is the way. Walk in it." But sadly enough, too many people today don't give two hoots what the Bible says. April issue of GQ magazine had a big article, 21 books you don't have to read. And of course, one of those books was the Bible. Here's what GQ magazine said about the Bible: "The Bible certainly isn't the greatest thing that man has ever produced. It's repetitive, self-contradictory, foolish, and at times even ill-intentioned." People, I could say the exact same thing about GQ magazine. We can't trust ourselves to tell us what's right. We've got to trust God to tell us what's right. And He does tell us in here. What's right is right here. Amen. You determine for yourself what's right, I guarantee you, you're going to be going in a direction you don't want to go. In the history of the NFL, there's been all kinds of bonehead plays that people have remembered for all time. But according to NFL Films, the worst of all happened October 25th, 1965. Minnesota Vikings playing the San Francisco 49ers at Kazar Stadium in San Francisco. Now back then, the best defense in the league was the Vikings' Purple People Eaters, led by all-pro defensive end Jim Marshall. Fourth quarter of that game, Vikings are up 27-17. 49ers running back Billy Kilmer catches a pass, gets hit, causes a fumble, and Jim Marshall scoops it up and runs 66 yards for a score. This is what it looked like.
Kilmer driving for the first down, losing the football. It's picked up by Jim Marshall, who's running the wrong way. Marshall is running the wrong way, and he's running it into the end zone the wrong way. Thinks he scored a touchdown. He scored a safety.
He ran 66 yards the wrong way. And Jim Marshall wasn't stupid. Perennial pole bowler, 20-year career, 282 straight games. It's just that in the heat of the moment, he lost his bearings and just took off running. And even though all kinds of teammates of his were running next to him down the sidelines, yelling at him, "You're going the wrong way," he was so convinced he was right, he just tuned it all out and took it to the house. Now, Jim Marshall crossing the goal line with that football would have counted as a touchdown for the 49ers. But because he tossed it into the stands, it was only a safety. So the Vikings still led 27-19. And even though the Vikings went on to hold on and win that game 27-22, Jim Marshall was forever known as Wrong Way Marshall. And pundits say it was that one play, the biggest reason why Jim Marshall never made it into the Hall of Fame. Folks, do we understand why we can't always trust ourselves to be going in the right direction? There's people sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon. There are all kinds of things in your life, including the Lord, telling you that you are on the wrong road, going the wrong way. But you are so caught up in the moment and so convinced you're right, you just tune it all out. Jim Marshall made the biggest football mistake of all time. And it kept him out of the Hall of Fame. But you know what would be even worse than that? You making the greatest spiritual mistake of all time and following your own direction and being on the wrong road and going the wrong way and having that keeping you out of heaven for eternity. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, "He who trusts in himself is a fool." The first thing we need to do to make sure that we're on the right road, we need to ask God for directions. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to make sure we're on the right road. We not only need to trust God for directions to that road, we also need to know what that road is. And notice, it's not a road or one road, it's the road. The only road. Because everybody and his brother today is telling you that there are many paths to God. Country singer Willie Nelson said this, "There are so many different ways to God because all gods and all religions are basically the same. They all get you to the same place, so there's no real difference at all between any of them." People say that there's no differences at all between any of the different religions because they think that gets them out of the responsibility of knowing that there are. But it doesn't. "Well, Kevin, there's many roads up the mountain, but I don't want to get up the mountain. I can hire a Sherpa to get me up a mountain. I want to get to heaven. My eternal soul is at stake here, people. So you can coexist with all that New Age pluralistic, let's not hurt anybody's feelings, claptrap if you want to, but not me." People say there are many ways to God. The problem is God himself doesn't say that. What God does say is Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. "I am God and there is no other." Not a whole lot of other options there. Jesus never said there were many ways to God. Jesus said there was only one way, and he himself was that way. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So it's my way or the highway. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "There's really only two roads. There's a narrow road that leads to life for those who are trusting in Jesus as their Savior, and there's a broad road that leads to death for everybody else who isn't trusting Jesus as their Savior." So there's Jesus' road and everybody else's, and everybody else's road is wrong. Folks, all roads may lead to Rome, but not all roads lead to God. And all roads, except for that narrow road, will lead you to hell. Put that in your politically correct pipe and smoke it. And why is that? Why do we need Jesus Christ? Because every single one of us human beings has a serious problem that only Jesus Christ can cure. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says every single one of us is a sinner. And because God is so holy, that sin separates us from God and causes us to deserve punishment from God. And if something isn't done about that sin will separate us from God for eternity in a place called hell. And because we are sinners, there is no way on God's green earth that we could ever save ourselves. Last April the 19th, Southwest Airlines flight from Dallas to New York City, an engine blew up. So the oxygen mask dropped down into the cabin. But you see from the picture there, most of the passengers never even had the oxygen masks on like they should be because they weren't covering their nose to keep them from going unconscious. Flight attendants tell you over and over again, make sure you put your own mask on right first, then you can help somebody else put their mask on. You save yourself, then you can save other people. But folks, we can tell just by looking at that spiritually, we can't save ourselves. And we can't save anybody else either. So God took all the saving on himself. Now, because God is holy, he had to punish our sin. But because God is also love, he didn't want to punish us. So 2,000 years ago, God the Father put his only son, Jesus Christ, on a cross. So God didn't punish us for our sin. God punished Jesus for our sin. Even though Jesus never sinned. Jesus never did anything wrong himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become or have the righteousness of God. Our sins totally forgiven, totally based on what Jesus Christ did for us and our simple faith in that. And folks, there is no other faith system in the world that has that. There's no other faith system in the world throughout the history of the world that has ever had anything like that. No other faith system in the world has a God who became a man. No other faith system in the world has a cross. No other faith system in the world has a God who dies for sinful human beings. Christianity is the only faith system throughout the history of the whole wide world where salvation is not based on good things we do for God, but on the good thing that God did for us in Jesus Christ and the cross. Maybe Christianity is the only faith system that's different because maybe Christianity is the only faith system that's true. There's Christianity, salvation by grace, and then there's everything else. And everything else is wrong because everything else is salvation by works, do-it-yourself projects that don't do anybody any good at all and certainly don't save them. Last October the 10th in Lehigh Springs, Florida, witnesses say a man driving a Toyota Corolla, instead of driving a couple of extra blocks to get around a 40-foot wide canal, instead decided to try to jump that canal with his car. Witnesses say he got out, he eyeballed the distance, got back in his car, and gunned it. And the next morning, the only thing that police found was a totaled Toyota Corolla in the middle of that ditch. What in the world was he thinking? And folks, if we can't even jump a 40-foot canal with a car, how in the world do we human beings think we're ever going to save ourselves by jumping across a Grand Canyon between the sinfulness of man and the holiness of God on our own? We can't do it. What in the world are we thinking? We need Jesus Christ. Because it's only Jesus Christ and the cross that can bring us to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. So to really know that road, you've got to really know Jesus. Which means it's not enough to go to church. It's not enough to have your name on a membership list in a church. It's not enough to be confirmed or have your first communion. It's not enough to listen to Kevin Garner sermons. It's not enough to swear off plastic straws and recycle and buy Girl Scout cookies. You've got to confess your sins. And you've got to put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross to take your sin away. And you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your personal Savior. You've got to be born again. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith. You do that, you're on the right road. And all of you listening who haven't done that yet, let me ask you. Why in the world are you ignoring and blowing off that incredible thing that Jesus Christ did for you. Last March the 23rd, an ISIS terrorist in France shot up some military personnel, then ran into a grocery store and took a bunch of hostages in the city of Trebek. And the first French policeman on the scene was Lieutenant Arnaud Beltrami, born-again Christian. And the first thing he did when he got to that grocery store, even though he didn't have to, he got the terrorist to let him take the place of one of the hostages, a 26-year-old woman whom the terrorist then released. But then 2 hours later, when French police stormed that grocery store, they found Lieutenant Beltrami dead because the terrorist had slit his throat. But the woman survived. Now, Lieutenant Beltrami knew absolutely nothing about that woman, and yet he was still willing to sacrifice his life in order to save hers. And people, here's the even more incredible thing. Jesus Christ knew absolutely everything about us. Everything there was to know, including all the sins that we ever committed against Him. And yet He was still willing to sacrifice His life in order to save ours. People, that is love and grace and mercy beyond imagination. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. We did the sinning, He did the dying. That's the right road. That's the way of Christ. You ignore that. You don't follow that course. You follow your own instincts instead. There's only one result. Next year marks the 20th anniversary of the death of John F. Kennedy Jr. He grew up the heir to Camelot. 1999, he was editor of George Magazine and the front runner for the New York Senate seat. But in July of 1999, he had a cousin that was getting married on Martha's Vineyard. So July the 16th, John, his wife Caroline, and her sister Lauren Bessette decided to go to that wedding. They were going to fly there in John's Piper Saratoga. They're supposed to leave at 6 o'clock at night while there was still some daylight. But of course, traffic was bad. Everybody got there late to the Essex County Airport in New Jersey. It was getting dark, and the weather was getting more and more hazy. So bad, a lot of pilots with a lot more experience decided not to fly at all that night. But JFK Jr. thought he could do anything. So he told his flight instructor and co-pilot, who always flew with him, he could handle it by himself. He and the two women jumped in, and at 8:53 p.m., they took off. Big mistake. Because John F. Kennedy Jr. was used to flying in the daytime, when he could use landmarks on the ground that he could see to guide him. He didn't even have a full pilot's license because he was not instrument certified to fly in low visibility with only using his instruments. There was all kinds of warning signs that he should have never taken up that plane that night, but he blew through all of them and did it anyway. And everything was okay until the sun went down and it got really dark, and the humidity over the ocean made the haze even worse. So all John could see through his windshield was nothingness. But he still plowed through it for over an hour until the lights of the airport on Martha's Vineyard were only 15 minutes away. But then it happened. Experts say that when a pilot who is not instrument certified is flying through the dark and the haze, something happens in his mind called black hole vertigo. And his mind starts thinking that the plane is doing things that the instrument panel is telling him the plane isn't doing. So he starts veering the plane to the left because his mind tells him that the plane is going to the right, even though the instrument panel is not telling him that the plane is going to the right. He starts nosing the plane down because his mind, his instinct, is telling him that the plane is nosing up, even though the instrument panel is not telling him that the plane is nosing up. And at that point, experts say he starts to lose his bearings and he starts to lose control of the plane because he can't tell the difference between right and left, up and down. And at that point, experts say that pilot has approximately 10 minutes to live. And according to the black box recorder, that is exactly what happened to JFK Jr. 9:34 p.m., JFK Jr. was flying that plane at 5,800 feet, but then started to descend at 700 feet per minute. 9:39 p.m., he veered to the right and went back up to 2,600 feet after going down to 2,300 feet. At 9:40 p.m., he lurched to the left. And in order to save his life and the lives of his two passengers, he had to ignore those voices he was hearing in his head and pay attention to his instrument panel, but he didn't do it. And he passed the point of no return. There was never any emergency call from JFK Jr.'s airplane because in his mind, there was no emergency. The last recorded radar from JFK Jr.'s plane at 9:43 p.m. had him 16 miles from the airport, but flying away from Martha's Vineyard and descending at 4,700 feet per minute in what they call a graveyard spiral. The NTSB said JFK Jr.'s plane actually hit the water upside down at about 98 miles an hour, ripping off the wings and instantly killing John, his wife, and his sister-in-law with sudden, massive traumatic injuries. And up till the very nanosecond that guy hit the water, he had no idea he was even off course. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. People, listen to me. Every single one of us, because of our sin, has something called spiritual black hole vertigo. We're all on a crash course. We're all in a graveyard spiral. But God, out of His mercy and grace, gave us something to help get us out of that. It's called faith, repentance, and simple faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So right now, wherever you are, pull up, trust Christ, change course, and start flying right. People, the Bible is our instrument panel. So the question this morning is, are you going to trust the instrument panel and fly the right course and live? Or are you going to trust your own instincts and fly the wrong course and die? The second thing we need to do in order to make sure we're on the right road, we need to know what that road is. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to make sure we're on the right road. We not only need to ask God for directions to that road, we not only need to know what that right road is, but third, we've got to get on that right road. We've got to get off the wrong road and get on the right one. Now, the devil will never tell you where that road you're on right now is taking you. The devil will never put up a sign to tell you that you're on the highway to hell. But the second part of verse 12 here, the Holy Spirit does tell you where that road you're on is taking you. He tells you that because God wants you to make a detour and trust Christ and get off the wrong road and get on the right one. You've got to get on the right road. But folks, don't think for a second that just because you're on the right road, it's going to be easy. In fact, if it is easy, you're probably not on the right road. Amen. Because the world is going to dump all over you for being a Christian. Last September the 17th at the Grammy Awards, the host, comedian Michael Che, said this: "The only white people who thank Jesus are Republicans and ex-crackheads." What an insult. Last Tuesday night, after Judge Brett Kavanaugh did his interview on Fox News and told everybody that he was a virgin all the way through high school, Seth Meyers, the host of Late Night, said this: "Just because you never had sex doesn't mean you couldn't commit sexual assault. And you Christians are so disgusting, assault is the only way you could ever have sex anyway." What a slam! Up at the Sandwich Fair booth 3 weeks ago, all I was doing on a Saturday night was asking parents if their kids wanted a balloon that had "Jesus loves you" printed on it. And I had some parents looking at me like I was Dr. Larry Nassar. And it wasn't me that they hated. What they hated was the message on that balloon about Jesus. Amen. Jesus said it's the broad way that's easy. No cops, no speed bumps. And it's packed, bumper-to-bumper traffic, like the Dan Ryan Expressway at rush hour. And you don't even have to use your own car on the Broadway. Just do a park and ride. Just jump on the party bus to hell, and the devil will be happy to do all the driving. But the narrow road, hardly any traffic at all, because only a few people ever find it. George Barna tells us only 7% of Americans are really born-again Christians. 7%. That narrow road's pretty lonely, people, so expect to lose a lot of friends along the way as you walk it. expect it. And why is that way of salvation so narrow? Because it's only for the people who really want it. What about you? There's people listening to this word this morning. You've got no idea where you are. You have no idea what road you're on. Molly Hatchet sang that song years ago. I'm traveling down the road and I'm flirting with disaster. Got the pedal to the floor and my life keeps going faster. Got my sights set straight ahead, but I don't know what I'm after. Listen to me. You're either on the narrow road that leads to heaven or you're on the broad road that leads to hell. There's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. You are flirting with disaster because you're on the wrong road. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is pleading with you and begging you, get off the wrong road and get on the right road. This is nothing to play with, folks. Mark Twain has that famous quote, go to heaven for the climate, go to hell for the company. People, hell is no joke. You say, well, Kevin, hell doesn't sound anything like Jesus to me. Folks, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Jesus said hell is a very real place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And Jesus didn't talk about hell because he wants you to go there. Jesus talked about hell because he doesn't want you to go there. He did it to warn you to make a detour and trust Christ and get off the wrong road and get on the right road. Jesus said if you don't trust him to pay for your sin, you will pay for your sin. And because we human beings can never possibly work off our own sin, you will pay for your sin for eternity in a place called hell. His words, not mine. Too many people make all kinds of plans for their funeral when they die. But they don't make any plans at all what's going to happen to their soul after they die. Last August the 18th, Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, died at age 76. And she requested that her own pink Cadillac, along with 100 other pink Cadillacs, be used to take her body to the cemetery. People, I don't care how you get to the cemetery. The only thing that matters is you get into heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because Jesus said, John chapter 3, verse 36, if you don't trust in Him as your Savior, the wrath of God remains on you even after you die. And all the pink Cadillacs in the world will never get you out of hell. You say, well, Kevin, I don't believe in hell. Doesn't matter. You not believing in hell won't lower the temperature there even 1 degree Fahrenheit. And the hottest fire in hell will be that burning knowledge in your mind for eternity that you didn't have to go there. Because you can get off the wrong road and get on the right one. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. For years and years, Ken Parker was the grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan and the entire state of Florida. Neo-Nazi, did all kinds of blogs and videos and protests and rallies to promote the cause. But early last year, Ken Parker met William McKinnon, an African-American pastor of an African-American congregation, the All Saints Holiness Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And Pastor McKinnon talked to Ken Parker, really talked to him, and showed him the love of Christ. And what do you know? Last Easter Sunday, Ken Parker showed up at his church and heard the gospel and repented and prayed to receive Christ and got saved. And then last May, Ken Parker, former dragon of the KKK, got baptized by Pastor McKinnon in the Atlantic Ocean and became an official member of that black church. Holy smokes, people! I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far down the road to hell you may already be. You can make a detour. You can give your heart to Jesus Christ. You can get off the wrong road and you can get on the right road. But if you're going to get on the right road, you better do it right now. Because after this sermon, after this church service today, you have no guarantees you're ever going to get another chance. Last month, Hurricane Florence dumped biblical amounts of rain and water on North and South Carolina. And day after day before that storm hit, all kinds of public officials pleaded with people and begged people to evacuate and to get out while there was still time. And of course, a lot of people didn't. And 44 of those people died as a result of the flooding. People never believed that the water would ever get that high. Until it did. And then when they finally did try to evacuate and get out, it was way too late. Picture you see on the screen is 47-year-old Ryan Gage from Wilmington, North Carolina. By the time he tried to evacuate, raging floodwater took his pickup truck, swept it into a drainage ditch, and he drowned before he could get out of it. You want to get off that wrong road and get on the right road, you better do it right now. Because come a time, it's going to be too late. And to get on that right road, you first of all have to realize you are on the wrong road and you have to get off of it. Highway 183 near Stamford, Texas is a divided highway. Two lanes going north, two lanes going south across a grass median from each other. And last August the 21st, 36-year-old Thomas Prado was in his van on that road making deliveries for his glass company when all of a sudden he saw this white car going northbound in the southbound lanes, going the wrong way in the wrong road, just across the median from him. And then he saw two semi-trucks had to swerve in order to keep from hitting it. And he realized he had to do something. So he floored his van, got out in front of that white car, whipped across the median, got out, stood beside the road while that white car was coming and started waving his arms and saying, "Stop, stop, you're on the wrong road, you're going the wrong way." But that white car just blew right on by him. And he noticed that there was a woman inside driving, an old woman who looked totally confused, totally oblivious to everything that was going on. So he jumped in his van, got over the northbound lane again, floored it, got even with her, whipped across the median again, got out by the side of the road again and started waving his arms at that white car saying, "Stop, stop, you're on the wrong road, you're going the wrong way." But again, she just blew right on by. So he got in his van a third time, got back in the northbound lanes and floored it, caught up with her, got ahead of her, whipped across the median this time, drove on the shoulder right next to her car with his arm out the window waving saying, "Stop, stop." And eventually he got the old lady to stop. Got out of his van, walked across behind the car, walked up to the door, told her what she was doing, and she said she had a hair appointment to get to at 8 a.m. And it was already 9 a.m. And when he asked her, "Is there anybody you have that I can call?" she said, "I have a cat." So he called the police and got both her and her car over on the right side of the highway in the northbound lanes where they should have been. And when police got there, they made sure the old lady got home safe and that she was never, ever going to drive again. This is what it looked like. And in every interview that Thomas Prado has given since then, he's apologized for the cussing because he was so excited, afraid that this woman was going to lose her life or kill somebody else. So pardon the bleeps.
Hey, stop! 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 Hey, no!
Okay, here, I can help you. Just wait 1 second, okay? You're gonna get hit. There's cars coming 75 miles an hour.
Here, can you scoot over right quick so I can get you on the other side of the road? I can get you there, okay? Your seatbelt is still on, okay?
Here,
I'll help you to your passenger side, okay? Is there somebody I can call?
No. Okay, here. I'll hold on to you, okay?
There's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. Just like that old lady, you're traveling down the road, no idea whatsoever that there is anything wrong. But you have no idea because you're totally confused that you're going the wrong way, you're going in the wrong direction. And no matter what you think, no matter how many times you may tell yourself that everything is okay, you are this close to having a head-on collision with reality. and the God of this Bible, who loves you so much that he put his only son on a cross to pay the price for your sin, absolutely does not want you to be lost or destroyed. So today, he brought you to this church so he could say this to you through me. Stop! Stop! You're on the wrong road and you're going the wrong way, so stop! Trust Christ, turn around, get on the right road, and start going in the right direction before it's too late. See the cartoon? Hell's 17 miles, and you're just going to keep driving? Seriously? Now, that cartoon would be funny if it wasn't so sad, because there are people listening to this sermon right now. That's exactly the situation you're in. You know what hell is, and you know you don't want to go there. And you also know who Jesus is, and you know that by trusting him, you won't have to go there. But see, you have never made a decision at all about anything like that. There's a road to heaven, and there's a road to hell. You can't be in two places at once. You can't be on both of those roads at the same time, because they go in two totally opposite directions. He who plays middle of the road becomes roadkill. You need to make a decision right now which of those roads you're going to follow. And how much time do you need to decide that heaven is a better place than hell? And you need to know this morning, doing nothing is a choice to go to hell. Not making a choice is a choice to go to hell. Not specifically choosing Jesus Christ as your Savior is a choice to go to hell. Now, God doesn't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there either. But it's not my choice. It's yours. So this morning, what's it going to be? Highway to heaven or the highway to hell? And your eternity is hanging on your decision. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for people listening to this sermon right now who do not know you. There's many, many people, Lord, they know what's true. They know your word is true. They know you are the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. They know that you are the way to keep from going to hell, but they've never made a decision for you. I just ask and pray, Lord, that you would work in their heart and you would draw them today. This is the day. Today they make the decision. Today is the day of salvation. And I just pray for the rest of us, Lord, who are Christians, that we would take a look at the road that we're walking. Are we trying to walk both roads at once? One foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. I pray, Lord, for us Christians that we would be totally sold out to you. Just thank you, Lord, so much for your love and your mercy and your grace that reached down to save us. Just pray for that one person, Lord, that they would make that commitment to you today, confessing their sins, trusting in you as their Savior, and receiving that gift of eternal life. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.